Morning. Today we'll try to cover two questions out of the Baptist Catechism because they go together so well. We're talking about the ordinances that were laid out previously, and the two questions that I intend to try to get to today both speak to the Word. So question 94, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? And the answer being, the Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Now here, again, I'll try to give a little bit more of a modern translation of some of this, speaking. So when we see the word effectual, how is the word made effectual to salvation? I would propose perhaps viewing it as beneficial, or perhaps wording the question, how does the word contribute to salvation? Now, I want you to note also the role of the Holy Spirit. Without the Lord's participation, the Word does not affect anyone. The Lord must grant the interest, the desire, and the understanding of God's Word. This does not mean that an unbeliever cannot understand the superficial meaning of Scripture. An unbeliever can certainly read of the miracles of Jesus and grasp what physically occurred. However, faith in the spiritual truths contained within Scripture are beyond the full grasp of anyone who is not converted. So we see in our answer two different modes of how the word is to be used. First, we see the reading, which is in reference to the personal study and reflection upon God's word. Second, then, is preaching, which is the public proclamation and explanation of God's word. Preaching, true preaching, is about the word of God. It is not a performance by the speaker. It's not entertainment. It should not just be a nice speech where someone shows how much they know about a given topic. Preaching should be about the word and not what the speaker necessarily wants to talk about. To make it otherwise can be prideful and vain, but yet this is far too common today. 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5 reads, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The answer then goes on to speak of some benefits of the word. The first is convincing and converting sinners, and this is through the law and the gospel. Romans 1:15-17. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And then Romans 10:9-17. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The second benefit listed is building them up in holiness, which I believe is a reference to obedience and sanctification. Acts 20:32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And 2 Timothy 3:14-17, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equip for every good work. And the final benefit listed is comfort through faith unto salvation, which I view that as assurance. Back in Romans again, 15, verses 4 through 6. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I'm going to pause there for a second. Many of you have probably heard before. In our society today, we've watered down the word hope. You hope to win a sporting event. You hope that, now this past year they actually did win some games, but you hope the Cleveland Browns will actually win some games. Okay, sometimes we use the word hope as something that's unlikely to occur. When hope is used in Scripture, it's a done deal. Our hope isn't a guarantee. Okay, so let me start then again, Romans 15, verses 4 through 6 again. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope in that guarantee. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Jim hasn't chased me down, so I'm going to go ahead and do the second question here, try to get through it quickly. Question 95. How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? Remember we said effectual could be beneficial? And the answer being that the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. Mark recently preached on Psalm 19, which is largely about the revelation of God, or you know, as in special revelation. But Psalm 119 is entirely about Scripture and man's relationship to it. So everything that I'm going to use to support this answer today is out of Psalm 119, if you want to turn there. We'll be looking at several different verses there. Psalm 119 is a snapshot of a believer's relationship with God's Word, and your relationship with God's Word is a reflection of your relationship with God Himself. So the Catechism gives us three actions for how we should approach the Word and three results or responses that we should see as a result of the Word. So action number one, we should be diligent. If you look at verse 2, how blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. So we should be diligent as we come to the Word. Action number two, we should be prepared. Starting in verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me. And I got water on my page, so I can't read that. We'll move on to verse 30. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Notice, I have chosen, I have placed, I shall run. There's intention here. He's prepared. Action number three, the third action is prayer. If you look at verse 18 of Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. We should approach God's word with humility and asking him to reveal his truth to us. Now the three responses, the first one, receive it with faith and love. And I would say that should be love both for God and also for his word. Verse 10, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Verse 24, your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. Response number two, lay it up in our hearts. Verse 11 reads, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Response number three, we should practice it in our lives. Starting in verse 3, they also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. If you take nothing else from this confession this morning, I ask you to consider reading Psalm 119 and using it as a mirror to look at yourself. Identify where you and your desires fall short of the example given there. Don't be discouraged, though, if you find that you fall short. I know that I certainly do when I compare myself to Psalm 119. Instead, consider these last two passages also from Psalm 119, starting in verse 57. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. And then verse 132. Turn to me and be gracious to me, after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to read and study it on our own. We're grateful for the opportunity to hear it preached. Lord, there's so many different ways you could have chosen for your truth to become known, but you chose for it to come through speaking, through the written word and through the spoken word. I pray that you would help us to be prepared, that we would approach your word seriously, whether it's on our own or as we listen to sermons. I pray that you would imprint on our hearts what would make us better conformed to you. I pray that our desires would be your desires. Amen.